Recording this on Thursday morning, September 21st. This is episode 30 of season 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. $6 drinks all day, every day. Among their specials as they celebrate 40 years, and specific to the 4th of each month, throwback events at Hooters, including 83-cent wings and other great specials. Thanks to Hooters for hosting the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Draft Night for the first time in 4 years, as well as their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Again, recording this on Thursday morning in advance of all Week 3 games, including the Thursday night game between the Giants. No Saquon Barkley, although the news on him doesn't seem to be as bad as feared, not nearly as bad as Nick Chubb. We'll get to that as the Giants take on the 49ers to open Week 3 play. You probably will not hear this podcast for your own purposes or purposes of posting this podcast via my distributor until after that Thursday night game is played. So just keep in mind the timing of when we record these and they don't go up instantly. That doesn't excuse me making a huge whiff on Kareem Hunt. In the 29th episode of Season 8, when I talked about the Nick Chubb injury, I just went off on a tangent. For those that were going to bring up Kareem Hunt's name, for those that did, you were right. Neither I nor Matthew Berry and others feel Hunt has standalone value until proven otherwise, that it's Ford's job to lose going forward. And even Matthew Berry says there's some value in strong behind Ford. But yeah, there are reasons why Kareem Hunt's production fell so badly last year, but he knows the system. Clearly, there were no issues with Hunt in the locker room, no issues with Stefanski. There are no concerns there. It's another live body. It's inexpensive, so the Browns make that move. I was wrong about that. I've already seen some movement in leagues towards Kareem Hunt. Probably not an expectation of much this first week, but who knows beyond that. I would still rather, and I had claims in this week as I was busy on waivers, as many as you were. I had claims in on Ford, didn't get him. Stunned, I got Kyron Williams on waivers in the foundation, and I'm 2-0. So eight other teams in front of me could have claimed Kyron Williams, the running back for the Rams, and no one put in a claim for him. So he was unrostered for the first 2 weeks, and then I get him with the 9th claim. This reminds me of how I got to pick first in the foundation draft, because none of the other 9 owners, given the opportunity to choose to pick first, wanted the first pick. I took McCaffrey, and obviously that's worked out very well. So let's dive in now that you have my Kareem Hunt apology. Let's dive in. There have been, as a result of being 2 weeks in, and as a result of the Nick Chubb injury, in the podcast and foundation leagues, we had a couple of major deals this week for the first time this season. And here's the stunner. None of them involved the ultra-aggressive former league champion Rob Wright. When I saw that trades had been made, and as the commissioner, I have to approve the trades, and I saw them come in, I was just expecting to see Rob Wright's name attached to one of these two trades. It was not. I don't know if Rob attempted to make trades. It's none of my business until he or someone else makes it my business, but it wasn't Rob. Let's start in the podcast league, in the League of Champions, with two owners who are struggling through 2 weeks, who find themselves in the bottom four. Matt Jones, did Matt have Chubb? That's what I want to look at. No, because, well, he is bringing in Kamara. So let me see if that was a Matt move as it related to Chubb. Let me go to drop players, view all, and see who had Chubb in the League of Champions. No, Scott. Oh, Scott, who has catered for us for a couple of years. Scott then picked up Gainwell, hoping he'll be healthy, especially with the workload that DeAndre Swift had in week two. Interesting. Okay, so let's go back to the trade in the League of Champions. Neither team had Chubb. So Matt Jones, a former league champion, acquires Cooper Kupp, eligible to play. Whether he's healthy enough or not is still a question. On a Rams team, much like the Bucks, that looks better than most of us expected. Win at Seattle, competitive in what many called a game in Los Angeles that was a road game for the Rams, based on how many Niners fans go to those games. So Matt picks up Cooper Kupp and Alvin Kamara. So now the Kamara name becomes significant for a lot of reasons. Kamara is coming off suspension after this week. Jamal Williams has not only had a slow start, granted it was what, a game and maybe a half before a hamstring pull that even his head coach says is going to take some time. Williams, who got into the end zone, what, 17 times last year, round that number for the Lions, hadn't found the end zone yet this season for the Saints, won't find it in the foreseeable future. The Saints running back situation is in total flux. So Kamara comes back next week. They've already, Tony Jones found the end zone twice. They're going to use Taysom Hill in more obvious running situations for now and presumably going forward. So a big speculative move by Matt Jones, bringing in Kupp and Kamara, with the hope that Kamara starting in week four and beyond and Kupp starting in week five and beyond deliver their ceilings or close to it. In exchange, Robert Cabala Jr., longtime Todd Reitor team captain and supporter, who I sat with at the Tampa Bay Rays game against the Angels last night, Robert significantly upgrades his wide receiving core, giving up Kupp and Kamara and bringing in Ja'Marr Chase and Deebo Samuel. So there are some big names in that deal. Chase off to a slow start. We're not sure at the time of this recording the status of Joe Burrow for the week three Monday night game. He's got an extra game, or kind of an extra day and a half. You know, rather than playing at maybe 1 o'clock on Sunday, you're playing at 8 p.m. on Monday. So that may help Burrow. We don't know. And Deebo Samuel, who may have a heightened role for a week or two, depending on the shoulder injury to Brandon Ayuk. Let me go to the other major deal. Was in the foundation where two former league champions made a sizable deal. Benjamin Hamm, who had drafted Patrick Mahomes in the second round with the 12th overall pick and not played him the first 2 weeks, and got better production out of Tua Tagovailoa, who he had drafted in the middle rounds. But Ben, as a result of other deficiencies, was sitting there at 0-2, one of only two teams in the foundation doing that. Ben lost Nick Chubb and lost David Montgomery. Chubb for the year, his number one pick at 9th overall. He had taken Montgomery more in the middle rounds, and it looked like a good choice, and now Montgomery's out for a few weeks with Detroit. So Ben clearly had a need for a running back. I wanted to reach out to Ben, but I didn't think I had the inventory to go after Mahomes. Even though I own Burrow in this league, and yeah, I would have loved to have brought in Mahomes and then seen, you know, what happens over the next couple of weeks, and then maybe I can flip Burrow for something just because there's more uncertainty with Burrow. I know Mahomes is off to a slow start. I'm not really worried about it. So Ben trades Mahomes to another former league champion who's 1-1, but a low point total in Jared, general manager from West Chase Golf Club. Jared sends back Travis Etienne, who he took at the beginning of the fourth round. So as a result of this deal, Jared had sort of played the zero quarterback theory with Dak Prescott, and after two games didn't like the results, even though the Cowboys outscored all of pro football in New York 70-10 the first 2 weeks. Dak was responsible for two touchdowns. And clearly there were some red zone and drive sustaining issues evident in the second half of the game against the Jets, which has resulted in all these field goals from the bizarre story that's the new kicker of the Cowboys. So Jared, who picked 10th and 11th and is notorious for picking in what I call the transfer spot, we have an owner in the Foundation League, a 10-team league, who now has the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th players drafted. That is high value. So he has 1/4 of the top 12 players drafted in a 10-team league. Those other two are wide receivers. He's left himself a little light at running back, but in a later round, he chose Kamara. So I'm sure he's thinking, by next week, Kamara is one of my starting running backs. I can afford to move Etienne. It was enough for Ben to replace Chubb with Etienne and give up Patrick Mahomes. So there are two major deals that went down in my two leagues this week, and we're only Thursday morning. I mean, we could have more. So if there were any trades like that in your leagues, I'd love to hear about them and talk about them on a future podcast, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. When did Matthew Berry? Oh, this was this morning. So I just want to use some talking points to finish up this podcast. Matthew Berry posted Thursday morning, roughly an hour ago, week 3 fantasy football rankings. And I just want to talk about, I use them as some talking points. I don't agree with all of it, but Matthew wouldn't agree with all of what I say, and he would expect, you know, some discussion. So we use, you know, good people like Matthew from NBC Sports, Roto World, etc., as a talking point and fantasy life. So top 10 quarterbacks this week, he goes Mahomes, which would be a breakout for Mahomes. Admittedly, a lot of bad things happening with the Bears. If you're not aware, might want to pay more attention. And you know I haven't been big on the Bears, and this thing is blowing up fast. Can they recover? Yeah. But they're running out of time. Mahomes, then Hurts, who will play on Monday night against the Buccaneers, then Jackson in a good matchup against the Colts, then Josh Allen, who had the big bounce back week last week against the Raiders. Justin Herbert is 5. Here's how bad Brandon Staley is as a coach and a defensive coordinator. The Chargers, I believe, have put up over 50 points the first two games, have not turned the ball over. It's 50 or more, and like only 33 teams in NFL history have done that, 50-plus points and no turnovers through the first 2 weeks. They're the only team who's not won a game. That's how bad Brandon Staley is. That's how much he needed to go a long time ago. Doesn't affect you for fantasy purposes, though. Tagovailoa at 6, Kirk Cousins at 7, Anthony Richardson. It feels like Richardson could go. Again, I'm recording this on Thursday morning. Richardson at 8, Joe Burrow at 9. Feels like he could go too, but these could totally go the other way. Trevor Lawrence at 10. That's low for Lawrence, in my opinion. Granted, the yardage, not the red zone production. Yardage was there, red zone production not there for the Jaguars last week against the Chiefs. Brock Purdy at 11, Deshaun Watson 12. That's enough there. Justin Fields down at 15. Matthew Stafford at 18 seems a little low. Daniel Jones at 20 with no help. Daniel Jones might be a sneaky sort of backdoor fantasy play against the Niners on Thursday night. I say this now. By the time you hear this, you may know that Jones was awful and the Giants got killed. But, I mean, who else is the ball going to be in the hands of with no Saquon Barkley in a game that will have game flow expected to be much like it was last week with the Giants having to come back against the Cardinals? Not saying it'll be the same result. Let's go to Matthew Berry's top running backs for week 3. My Christian McCaffrey over Justin Jefferson et al. As number one overall pick in the draft has worked out very well through 2 weeks. It's worked out so well that the Niners are getting questions about McCaffrey's snap count. That's how well it's worked out for fantasy purposes. McCaffrey 1, Pollard 2. Granted, he's been very quietly putting up great fantasy numbers. Pollard 2, Robin Bijan 3 after a strong first couple of weeks. Robinson hasn't scored yet, has he? Imagine it when he starts scoring. Derrick Henry 4. ETN 5. Kyren Williams, again, I got him on waivers this week. Now watch, he'll get hurt. I got him on waivers this week with the 9th best claim in the Foundation League. And I already have McCaffrey and Jahmyr Gibbs, who you know is going to finally get more snaps. I have a decision to make. Josh Jacobs 7 off a horrible game. Joe Mixon 8. There's Gibbs at 9. So according to Matthew Berry, I would start Kyren Williams on Monday night instead of Gibbs as my second running back. I don't know. Kenneth Walker 10. The better Walker is and the healthier he is, the less we see Charbonnet. Aaron Jones 11, Alexander Mattison 12, and the acquisition of Cam Akers there sends a message that the Vikings are not getting what they need from Alexander Mattison. What have I told you about RB2s who move up the depth chart to RB1 and how it just doesn't work out at a high percentage? And Mattison hasn't looked the part. Not that Dalvin Cook has. In New York. Let's go to, and for those of you jumping on Matt Breida, last I heard it would be running back by committee, but again, you won't have this podcast by Thursday night, you'll know. Wide receiver rankings, Justin Jefferson, has he scored? Did he get one last week? Maybe? We know the one he tried to get, he fumbled, and I have no problem with that rule, by the way. Tyreek Hill 2, Jamar Chase 3, Devontae Adams 4. Is Adams going to clear the protocol? Amon-Ra 5. If you saw that Amon-Ra had an injury designation at the end of the last game, it was reported because it was cramping. So apparently it's not a big deal. CeeDee Lamb 6, Stephon Diggs 7. For those that say, wow, CeeDee Lamb suddenly looks like the only wide receiver, you know, that Prescott's going to throw to in Dallas. Brandon Cook should come back this week. Missed a lot of week 1, missed all of week 2 with a knee sprain, and they didn't need him. So I'm holding on to Cooks. Drafted him in a later round, thinking he's going to have some value in the Cowboy offense. Diggs 7, Keenan Allen 8 off his big game. Puka Nacua in the top 10 at 9. Then Debo at 10, his value even goes up if Brandon Ayuk doesn't play. A.J. Brown, 11. Squeaky wheel theory, I guess, there. Jalen Waddle, 10. Jalen Waddle, 12. I'm sorry. Okay, let's... And I'll just do... I'm going to do the first three tight ends because nothing below them seems to be that significant. Although, could Evan Engram be in the mix this week against the Texans? Although the last time they played the Texans, he barely touched the ball in a game where the Jaguars kind of shut everybody down at halftime. Kelsey won. TJ Hockenson, I claimed him on waivers in one of my leagues this week, and right now he's in my starting lineup for Brandon Ayuk, and I dropped George Kittle. Now, all along I said I had Ayuk and Kittle, and I said, well, if I don't play Ayuk, I'm going to play Kittle. I just chose Hockenson as the better option, which of course means Kittle will go off in the week three Thursday night game if Ayuk doesn't play. But Hockenson seems to have a clear role as good as Jordan Addison is. You know, it's Jefferson one, and then is it sort of Hockenson and Addison 2 and 2A, or is Hockenson, you know, a little higher than Addison because Addison is just so good, picks up things so quickly, as he proved with multiple college systems. But yeah, so I picked up Hockenson on waivers, and you know how I feel about tight ends. Minnesota just seems to be playing from behind. It's just Cousins throwing the ball all over the yard, and Hockenson seems like, at worst, his third best option, if not his second best. Mark Andrews, third, who got in the end zone last week for the Ravens, who are off to a fast start, and I think that's the only real tight ends of any significance. I laugh that Kyle Pitts is down at 13 in week three. And Dalton Schultz, why did you turn down that deal? And Dallas is down at 15 and in obscurity with the Houston Texans. Send me any of your questions leading up to your games in week three at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. And remember, don't just tell me your players, A, B, C, D, I need to start two and end the email. Tell me what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, and I will give you a second opinion. I do not set your starting lineups. I want to get to know you. I want to understand what you're thinking, and then I'll offer a second opinion. Much like you don't provide my starters, I don't provide yours. We're all just having fun sharing info, sharing opinions. And I hope you're having fun this year again playing fantasy football. As many as 60 million in the United States and Canada play it. And I know many of you serving in the United States military abroad play fantasy football for a little escape because you listen to my podcast, and I thank you for your service, and I thank you for allowing me to give you a little bit of an escape from your duties and what you do for all of us. Thank you. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters $6 drinks all day, every day. We'll be back with a couple more episodes next week. We're already 30 episodes into this season 8. Good luck this weekend.